This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by the Bissell Bark Bath. The Bissell Bark Bath allows you to bathe your dog with virtually no mess. Using less than 48 ounces of water, visit bissell.com/TMS to learn more. And when you use the coupon TMS, you receive 2 free bottles of no-rinse shampoo with your order. This coupon code is good for a limited time only. That's bissell.com/TMS and use the code TMS at checkout. Coming up on TMS, how many hot wings can you eat in one sitting?
How many hot wings can you eat? Your DNA sucks, so get out of my apartment.
I love that one. Don't use bees for that.
Get the sandwich right, losers.
That's a whole lot of Florida man in one story.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, apparently Pontiac has all the latest developments of automotive engineering.
Absolutely. That is why Pontiac is today the chief of values.
You and I will not make garbage.
This is The Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for March 21st, 2018. Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett, right
hi,
back
hi, hi.
At it. At it? That's not
right,
a word.
At
right
it.
Back at it.
Right back at it.
I think I meant
like
atcha.
Right atcha.
Yeah, atcha and at it, I think is what I did.
Yeah.
Conflated the two. Used to
Molly Hatchet.
Yeah.
Molly Hatchet.
Don't go to Vegas. You get conflated for free, if you know what I'm saying.
Boom.
Hey, Brian, we're back. It's another day, another show, another time for us to for you and I to pull up a chair and hang out with each other and have a good time. And I got to tell you, I've been doing this thing lately where I usually don't do this because once we've recorded the show, I'm not so into it. Like, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm into it, but I'm like, all right, we're done. Now tomorrow we'll do another one.
Sure.
It's now to the listeners to consume it in whatever way they want. And some people, you know, get way behind and worry about that. And I always say, no, don't worry about it. Come in now. It doesn't matter. This the point of a morning show in the traditional sense is it's just on in your commute. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll catch this for a while. Sometimes you hear us, sometimes you don't. All of those things are great. For those who are committed every day, you guys are awesome, and you're a special level of great.
Could you imagine if the news, the daily news, had continuity that you had to follow? Oh, I'm like 3 years behind on the news. I'm working to catch up.
Yeah, you got to catch up, man. But then, but my point in all of this is that, what was my point? I had a point. About
something you do after the show.
Oh, yeah. So I started just having it on in the background while I did other stuff. I just wanted to hear it again. And it's a good idea once in a while through shows. Like, I know you've done this with Coverville, but you go back and you go, okay, well, what's good? What can I change? What do I tweak?
Sure.
I haven't done that in a very long time. I'm usually just sort of, there's no edits. We just go, right? We go. We make things go, like the Packlets.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, they want things to go. They can't make it go, so they get Jordy to come make it go. That's how it is.
Right, exactly. Oh, Jordy.
Oh, he's such a, you know, he's just a treat. So anyway, so I did this the other day. I guess it was, I don't know what day it was, what show it was. When did I text you and tell you how funny that day's show was? Whatever day that was.
Monday, I think.
Was it Monday's show?
I think it was Monday, yeah.
We're good at this. Like, I don't want to be cocky and lame, but dude, we're freaking funny sometimes. Like, that show, I was laughing out loud.
We should win awards.
Yeah. We should win. We should win many podcast legacy podcast awards.
There should be many awards given to us.
Speaking of which, is that happening? Is that a thing again? Do you know if he's doing those this year? Do we know?
I imagine he is. I don't know. That's a really good question. I know that the podcast movement is happening, and there's going to be the Hall of Fame Awards.
Yeah,
because I've nominated somebody, somebody I work with on a almost daily basis.
Where are they doing that this year? Where's that?
Good
this
old
year?
Tristan Ibbett.
where are they holding that this year? Do you know where that's going to be?
I think it's in Austin. No, where is it? Podcast Movement.
Yeah.
Philly, I believe, this next one.
I thought that was the last one. Or where was the last one?
Last one was in Anaheim.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because
you were there for the thing.
Because I was there.
Yeah,
you were there at the same time, and you went and you got a sports car and drove around in your sports car. Philadelphia Marriott, July 23rd through the 26th.
Interesting. Who's going to be
there? I think this is easily becoming the new thing. You know, kind of taking over from the ashes of the old New Media Expo, the Borkwins, mm-hmm. Borkwin Brothers New Media Expo, which was a great thing when it was there.
Sure. The Orlando, California, or not Orlando. What was it? What was the town?
It was Ontario. Ontario. California. Yeah. Those early days in Ontario.
Those and heady days.
A couple in Vegas. It's just so crazy. You go there and you see some of the old faces. You see folks like Evo Terra and T. Morris and Gary Leland, of course, and Todd Cochran and you know, the old crowd. But then it's like so many new people who are getting into the space and like learning about podcasting and getting into podcasting. I can't imagine being a brand new podcaster now and trying to launch a show and getting any traction. I feel like we've got the benefit of years of experience of doing this, but also getting in when there were 14 podcasts that people could listen to.
Yeah, no. I've always said this, especially about the instance when we started that, there were like six shows and three of them were kind of already fading. And the other three weren't very good, in my opinion. So I started that show with a very small competition group and it was very easy for that to suddenly explode and be, oh, that's the show to listen to. That's the one. Because now if you enter that space, even now, like 12 years, 13 years later or whatever, the game's that old, they're still... I don't know, 100 or something more of them now. So, timing is a good thing for us. You and I got in at the right time.
We did. Terry Gross, by the way, is going to be speaking at this upcoming podcast movement.
Oh, very nice. I call her Terry Two Fingers. You know why?
Why does she, when she talks, does she?
No, anybody who's, I love Terry Gross, by the way. I think she's amazing. Yeah, but yeah. Anybody named Terry, I called Terry Two Fingers now. And it's Bo Schwartz's fault because... In Heroes of the Storm, Jim Raynor, because he's a kind of a newbie character, a character people would get used to play the game, he only has two abilities. You can talent later for a third, but he just has his Q and his W instead of the QWE like everybody else. So we call him Two Fingers Terry or Two Button Terry sometimes, Two Button Terry. So anytime there's a Terry Bradshaw, Terry Gross... Uh-huh. Terry O'Harry, or what's her name? No, that's Sherry O'Terry. Anyway, they...
Terry Cruz,
they're all
two-button. Nobody calls Terry Cruz Two Fingers.
Yeah, I'm not two-button Terry.
Anyway, Terry is the Two Fingers.
So there's that. Thanks, Bo, for that. Also, all right, food deal. I like to give an update on how we're doing with... Oh, and Kim's here for like 5 minutes right now. She's...
Oh, nice.
How nice that during the last 4 days, the only time I get to see my wife is right during showtime, which is kind of a bummer. But she has some kids to pick up from school and then some other things. So it's like this one little slot she's here. She's just like getting some stuff she forgot and then she's out the door again. So tomorrow night, though, at about 10 o'clock, home for good.
Oh, good.
Well, until the next thing, whatever that is. Which I think is Nick's senior trip to Washington and Oregon, which means she's going to be driving that, which means I'll be alone. Well, I guess Carter will be here. So it'll be back to me eating like an idiot. But anyway, yesterday, Nick and his friend. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Did she say anything about the, was she able to go to the safe house while she was in Milwaukee or did that?
Oh, shoot. You know what? We're asking her now.
Okay.
Because I forgot to ask again. There's been so much going on, I completely spaced it. So
I feel like she would have like sent you photos and stuff. If she would have gone, you would have heard about it.
Oh, we totally would have heard about it. I'm sure of it. But so I'll bet this is a no, but we're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to do this live on the air.
Okay. She better have a good excuse if she didn't. I'm going to rate her excuse on a scale of 1 to 10.
I agree completely. And she might be driving, so that could be a problem.
Yeah.
I don't actually know.
No hands-free? You haven't set her up with a Bluetooth hands-free thing in
the
car?
She does. Leave a message. Well, the closest thing she's got is her phone in there. She doesn't have, her car has hands-free, but it's old enough now that the update on the car doesn't work with latest version of either Android or iOS stuff.
Bummer.
So thanks, Honda, you jackass. Actually, it's actually some kind of Sony system in it, and they used to do these like firmware updates to it. Actually, I should check. Maybe there's a new one, but... Anyway, something happened. It broke with the last version of Android, and it broke with the last version of iOS, and now it doesn't work anymore.
Bummer.
Anyway, point is...
All right, so Nick.
Nick comes home with his... I keep saying his girlfriend. They've been on and off girlfriend, but really she's just kind of his best friend. Her name is Morgan. We love her here. She's the sweetest kid you've ever met.
I feel like these two might have a pact that if they're both unmarried by the time they're 40, they're going to just get married. Like they've made this deal like, hey, if you're single and I'm single when we both hit 40 years old, let's just get married.
It does feel like that a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, down the road dated seriously again or something. I don't know. Because they're just peas in a pod. She's so sweet. And she just gets Nick in a way that, that other kids don't. And I also, what I like about her is she's just this sweet kid with just the brightest outlook on life. She's a little quiet sometimes, and she's not really, you know, she's very funny, and she'll laugh really hard, and she has a very infectious laugh, but she doesn't push her way into conversations or anything like that, which is part of what I think Nick likes about her. But at the same time, she's a power lifter. She can go do like 300-pound weights and just go, whoa, and then throw them on the ground like some kind of Russian monster. It's crazy to watch her do that.
That's awesome.
Anyway, that's just a side note. They came over last night, and he goes, Dad, I got this idea. What are you going to do? I'm making dinner. Don't eat anything. I'm going to make dinner. So I put my handful of Fruity Pebbles back in the box. Not true.
The first of two scoops of Fruity Pebbles.
Right. My recommended breakfast dinner. And he said, I said, what are you planning? He goes, I want to make hot wings. I've never made them before, so we're going to make them. So he pulls out 30. He went and did this with his own money. Bought 30 hot wings, and these are just frozen. And they're not like pre-done, they're frozen chicken, that's it,
sure,
just just in their little pink form, uncooked. He wants to bake them because he thinks baked is better than fried, and I agree.
Healthier for sure.
And so he and her made a whole, she made other stuff too, and they made a whole meal and destroyed the kitchen in the process, but ended up making these amazing wings.
Oh, wow.
Some of them, I should say. Some of them. I'll say mixed results because they got a little creative with some and it didn't work so well. So on some of them.
Only creating sauces?
Yeah. So some of them had like sriracha mixed with like, they were trying to make hot ones, you know, and those were weird. They made some where they, the recipe says cover it in flour first and then fry them, or not fry them, bake them and then pull them out and sauce them up. Something was wrong with the timing or whatever, so when you put the sauce on, it just sloughed off like it was a big lubed up chicken thing. And so a lot of these just look like, you know, the most horrible thing you've ever seen on the plate, but tasted fine. Like they were, you know, it's good chicken. But anyway, they're going to try it again tonight. So tonight they have, because it's 30 chicken wings. We weren't going to eat all 30 of those. We probably ate, I don't know, 15. So the other half, they're gonna, they got this whole new idea. They're gonna get, they've had them marinating overnight in a bowl full of rub and goop and I don't know what all.
Nice, wow.
And so they'll get home today. They'll put those in the oven, and then we're gonna have like some homemade fries and some other stuff. So it's not so bad being here with the boy alone. I kind of thought it was gonna be a nightmare, and yet, you know, Morgan, this nice influence in his life, comes over and says, "Yo, we're gonna cook real food," and it's been okay.
See, Tristan needs something like that. He needs someone in his life that is like, hey, let's go back to your house and cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Oh, and then they watched Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter movie after, instead of doing his homework, which annoyed me a little, but I was like, hey, you made me wings. I guess you guys can watch a little Harry Potter.
Right, right. You've earned some Potter time.
She's a huge fan.
Man, you see those old movies, and it's like, my God, they're practically toddlers, Hermione and Ron and Harry.
Yeah,
like,
and what's even weirder is these two 17-year-old kids who are watching this were literally toddlers when this first movie came out. I remember taking Nick to the theater, and he wouldn't hold still. He ran up and down the aisles. He's like barely walking, like a year and a half old, whatever.
Gosh. Yeah.
And it was crazy, but she's awesome. Like, I wouldn't be, her dad listens to the show sometimes, so I don't know if he's going to hear this, but
sure.
If down the road they were like, yeah, we're, you know, like if they were the ones for each other, if they got married,
yeah,
I'd have no problem with that. She's the sweetest. She's so sweet and so nice. And she power lifts so she could kick his A if he steps out of line.
Exactly. See, that's an important, you need that kind of balance.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But she's just so, I mean, she's so nice. I already am way protective of her. Like, I'll find out somebody picked on her or something, like somebody at school or whatever, and I'll just go, dang it, freaking rage starts building. I'm like, you're not even my kid, and I'm going to kill whoever that is.
Right.
Anyway. All right, Brian?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Movies. We like movies.
We do. We're going to be talking about a couple later on today.
We are indeed. We got recommendals today. Very excited. Program. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. You got another bonus, which I noticed. That's great. Love bonuses.
I do have another bonus. I just can't keep away from the streaming videos.
That's funny because I have a running list of, let's see. So since we last spoke, I saw, one drama, mm-hmm. two documentaries, mm-hmm. and another drama.
So oh, wow.
I'm only going to pick one of them.
Yeah.
But it's been a real feast lately, and it's hard to not, it's hard not to. There's so much good stuff. It's hard to.
There really is. Yeah, we're finally getting caught up on things. We're, and this isn't one of my recommendals, but we're about 2/3 of the way through The Punisher, finally.
Oh, I need to watch that too.
You know, John Barenthal and his giant earlobes. The dude just can't play, he can't not play a character that hones in on somebody, on a woman who thinks her husband's dead.
There
like,
you go.
It's basically, yep. he's now typecast as that.
Yep. He has to do it every role he takes.
That's right. Go, exactly.
Go back to, was he on Prison Break?
Walking Dead?
No, before that. Well, I knew he was on that, but I thought he was on Prison Break. Oh, I'm thinking of what's her name that was on Prison Break. She played Dr. Tancredi on the wife, Rick's wife that died, had the baby.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah.
Juniper, Felicia, Jennifer Bong Nugget Turd. I don't know her name.
I can't remember her name.
Anyway, point is, I've now found the movie I have most anticipation for in 2018. And it's not Avengers, although I'm very excited about Avengers. Easily number two in my anticipation list. It's not Solo. Right. That's also up there, but that's not the one I'm most excited about.
Okay, all right.
My
wow,
number,
I'm amazed because these are...
These are
both
huge.
Ones that I've got at the top of my list.
Yeah, they're huge.
Lori Grimes, by the way.
Easily. Oh, yeah, there you go. Lori Grimes.
Lori Grimes.
Easily number two and three, the ones I just mentioned. But the number one sure. movie for... I have a theory why I feel this way, but it's this Won't You Be My Neighbor documentary about freaking Fred Rogers.
I saw this
I'm
being promoted.
I'm so excited about it. What is yeah. up? What is... You know what it is? We live in this world where there's so much, like... dour looks at everything and nobody's got any kindness yeah. in their heart right now, and it's just I need a guy like that back in all up
right.
in it.
Well, no, it's the fact that right now exactly all of our all the people that we're fans of, or you know, the Hollywood stars that we look to for entertainment and stuff, we're finding all these damn dark these skeletons in their closets.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one person who we know doesn't have a room for a skeleton in his closet because he has too many cardigans, it's Fred Rogers.
Yeah, all shoes and cardigans in there. But
right.
but my whole thing is just like I need that voice of kind, caring,
yeah.
Love first, anger last kind of guy. They just don't exist anymore in public life, whether it's celebrities, whether it's politics, whether it's whatever. I just don't feel like we see them anymore. I know these things are happening on small doses in other places, but you just need yeah. a dude like that, and he's freaking amazing. So if you haven't seen that trailer, go seek it out. It made Carter cry. I can always tell in a good trailer it makes Carter cry, and it looks fantastic. It's like
so cool.
Way up there on my radar now.
How cool would it be to have a like go out to just a magical dinner, like you know, pulling people from the past, and dinner with because they're both passed away now, Carl Sagan and Fred Rogers.
Oh my
like
gosh!
Like going
dude.
To a
yeah.
Cheesecake Factory with those two, and having a 2-hour meal. And
I'd be down with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would love that. Like that guy shouldn't. Everyone dies when they shouldn't. But good people die when they shouldn't. He should have lived a little bit longer.
Right.
How long? Wait a minute. When did he die? When?
Carl Sagan?
No, Fred Rogers.
Oh, Fred Rogers.
Did Fred. But same with Sagan. It's like...
Yeah.
There it is. He died 2003. In 2003 at the age of...
And he looked like Orville Redenbacher when he...
He totally did. He totally did. How old was he when he died? He was 74. That's a pretty good long life,
wow.
I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I don't know. It just feels like the nice guys don't get the chance to go a little further and... I don't know. I know that's a
weird...
Yeah,
but you know what? They get talked about for a lot longer than the not-so-nice guys.
That's true. That's true.
You know, we're still talking about Carl Sagan, and he's been dead for 22 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're still talking about Fred Rogers. We'll be talking about Stephen Hawking for forever, but we won't
yeah.
be bringing up Steve Bartman.
No.
We won't be talking about Steve Bartman.
No, F. Steve Bartman.
No.
Yeah,
exactly.
F. Steve Bartman. Go back to the hole you crawled out of, Steve Bartman.
Yeah, Steve Bartman.
Of the Bartmans. And also...
You've ever heard of Steve Bartman.
I have no idea who that is. Who is it? Is that a person?
Yeah, he's the guy who screwed up the Chicago Cubs win.
That guy.
World Series by grabbing the ball, reaching down and grabbing what could have been a caught Ball.
Oh, I thought you made him up. All right. Yep. No, you're right. I remember it now. Yeah. This guy is, they call it the Steve Bartman incident. How would you like to have an incident named after you?
I'd just go into hiding. Like, oh gosh. Okay,
oh my gosh. Not only do they have it's called the incident. His Wikipedia page. Look at this chat room. Yeah, there it is. His Wikipedia page is huge. And it's bigger than mine.
Bigger than mine too.
It's way bigger. I think you'd take me and you together. Still bigger. Like, look at this. Let's look up Brian Ibbett.
Because they have the Bartman seat. Oh, this is hilarious. Yeah.
There's Brian Ibbett. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's Scott Johnson.
Stuff in there. It's a good picture of me though for the my Wikipedia page. I like
that. Oh, that's awesome. I hate mine.
Oh really?
If I can find it there, cartoonist. Oh, it's actually someone changed it.
Too many. Look at that. Architect, drum technician, gymnast. There was a Scott Johnson in the Gin Blossoms?
Maybe. What songs did they do that I should remember that I don't?
Hey, Jealousy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Tell me if you think it'd be all right if I could just crash here tonight.
I remember it now. Yeah, here it is. They changed my photo. It's fine. It's Nerdtacular 2014 for some reason.
Which is where mine came from, too. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Somebody must. Yeah, I'll bet some.
Oh, no, never mind. I was going to say we both have our Bill Duran created N14 badges.
Oh, the little, his little.
Yeah, I've got mine, but.
Plastic resin things he made. Yes. That was really cool. All right. Hey, guess who's back in town, everybody? Why, it's.
The boys are back in town. No.
It's close.
Okay, all right.
Close. More like the boy is back in town.
Let's hear it for the boy. Is that who we're going to...
Well, yes. I'm going to say let's hear it for the boy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Back after a brief respite away from everything, the recently had a birthday, Brian Dunaway. Hello?
Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Hello?
He forgot. For your birthday, you got a new microphone cable, so you just took off the old one. And
forgot how to do this.
Did not install the new one.
He's there. I see him.
What?
There he is. Hi. Hello.
What? Ladies and gentlemen. Hi.
Hi. Hey, hi. Happy birthday, dude. How was your birthday?
Oh, thank you. It was great. I had a great birthday.
Yeah?
Monday was my birthday, March 19th. Share that with Bruce Willis. Me and him got together and had some drinks. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Did you have a few laughs?
Me.
He had a few
laughs.
Did
you go to LA? Have a few laughs?
A few laughs. We talked about Amanda Pete. It was great.
Yeah. There was some good Amanda Pete in his life. So it's fantastic to have you back. We missed you.
You guys too.
Yeah, we had a little Dunaway sized hole in our hearts. But we may do. No. Brian had a cool alternative and it worked out great. So as much as we missed you.
I heard. I listened. I was at the beach, but I listened in.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
I may even consider you guys are up for it, might even consider doing that with the two of you going back and forth and have the listener pick. Prior to, once they know the category, picking who they think is going to win.
Dude, I'm all for experimentation. That sounds fine.
I like that.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
I like mixing it up. We'll see about mixing it up.
Brian is the Alex Trebek of TMS, so he is, he has all the powers to make this happen.
I'm sorry, we were looking for Schenectady. Schenectady. You've got the board.
What is a hoe? All right, anyway. Justin, Brian, it's good to have you back. Sorry about that. I talked to Justin Robert Young a lot yesterday. It was too much, Justin, if I'm being honest. Brian and I, Ivan and I did not participate in the summer movie draft this year.
Nope.
Too much going on, way too
busy. Boycotting it. We're boycotting it because of that that Schwood fiasco.
Yeah.
That's right.
He kept resetting The Last Jedi so he could keep driving the number down, acting like he couldn't place his bid.
Yeah, so F that guy.
You really want to know the real reason we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Because we would have won had Schwood not, hacked the system.
That's right. Let someone else take third or fourth place. We'll do it next time.
That's right.
We'll come back when we'll come back the winter one and show our, I almost said show our nuts. I don't know what that means, but we're not going to show our nuts.
Yeah.
Look at these. Am I winning? Look at them.
Sneaky nuts. No one's winning if they're showing you their nuts. All right, hey. No.
Speaking of showing my nuts, I had a physical today.
Oh, how'd it go?
Oh, how'd that? Yeah.
It was better than expected because, you know, I turned a certain age this year and I was worried he was going to say, well, Brian, it's time for that colonoscopy. And he said I had a little bit longer. And I was like, well, good. And I said, well, how about the other thing? He said, what other thing? I said, you know, the thing with the finger. He said,
Dr.
He said, well, I like your enthusiasm, but not today. And so,
yeah, you know, my last physical, my one and only physical I had like earlier this year, or no, at the end of last year, they didn't do the Dr. Jellyfingers.
They didn't. And he actually said, he said, we're going to give you the blood work instead. And he said, we find that to be almost just as effective, if not more effective.
Really?
I was like, well, good, because that's better for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. No, he wins, you win, everyone wins. The lab gets a little extra scratch for doing a little blood analysis. It's all good for everybody.
Right.
The new age, by the way, for colonoscopy was bumped. It used to be 40. It's now 50.
Right.
So.
And hopefully by the time I hit 49, it'll move up to 55.
Yeah, that's the goal. It'll be 60 by the time you're there. But here's what happened. So when I had mine done, because it was a special one-off, right?
Yeah.
It was great because they gave me clean bill in terms of that sort of stuff. So they said, oh, you don't have to get your next one until you're like in your mid-50s. You're good.
Right.
So I don't have to do this for a long time now.
That's
the rest,
awesome.
The rest of y'all need
at
to get your ass in
there.
That's
what the guy there. On Twitter said.
Yeah, he may have lied. All right, we're going to take a caller right now and see who it is. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Josh.
Josh Mayhew, right? Or different Josh?
Yep.
Oh, this is that Josh.
No, different Josh. Oh, from Ohio.
Different Josh. Oh, Ohio. That's cool.
Yeah.
Josh in Ohio.
Josh, welcome to the show. Yeah, where are you at?
I'm actually from right near where Jerry's wife is from.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh. Yeah, for those of us who don't have Ashley's Wikipedia page pulled up.
I don't think she has a Wikipedia
page.
I'm
near Mansfield. Center.
Okay. Mansfield.
Right in between Columbus and Cleveland.
I like that. Mansfield is cool because Mansfield reminds me of, what's the movie with somebody named Mansfield in it? Oh, the Iron Giant. The main jerk guy from the FBI's name is Mansfield. And every time the dad from Frasier, who played the general in that, would go, damn it, Mansfield. He was great. Anyway.
Oh, I miss him.
I do, too. He was great in that. People forget he was an Iron Giant. He was fantastic in that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the nitty and the gritty of this. Brian's going to explain the rules of this here game and see what you could win. Brian, how's it work?
That's right. Josh, in just a moment, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question. The answer to that trivia question is a number, and Brian's not going to be vague about it and connect it to random other podcaster information, biographical information that we have to dig up. No, he's going to give us a number, and that number is going to be wrong. I'm just going to say it right now.
Hey!
It's going to be wrong.
All right.
But then we're going to turn to you, Josh. We're going to ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a really awesome prize package. That includes a Ready Player One Crystal Key keychain, just in time for you to take to go see Ready Player One and unlock something.
Mm.
Don't know if you can or not.
Yeah.
And a Captain Kirk, bright yellow Captain Kirk t-shirt. How cool is this?
Oh,
damn
my
t-shirt?
Gosh, dude.
That's so, it's like so retro and cool, and it could be yours.
Yeah.
If your guess is correct.
Oh, and a print pack, by the way. I'm going to throw one in.
Oh,
so
Scott's
if you,
throwing in a print
yeah,
pack.
If you win, you'll get that from me as well. So you're going to get all kinds of good stuff today, all physical.
Unless Brian throws that Kirk shirt into a box and I defeat the next four contestants and then I'm wearing the Kirk shirt.
You know what?
We'll talk.
Yeah.
You should get some sort of prize for just being how awesome.
Oh, my prize is just entertaining you folks.
Oh, that's very worthy of our prize worthiness. All right. Anyway, Brian, what's the deal?
Your category today is reptiles.
Reptiles. So lizards.
Reptiles.
Lizards, snakes,
Kirk fought a reptile man.
He did, yes, the Gorn.
Yeah, so is that what the question's about?
Nope.
No, as a matter of fact.
It turns out it's not. Here's your question. We've got flags, of course, and flowers and birds. How many of the 50 states have an official state reptile? Okay, so 50 states,
well,
not just the lower 48. How many of the 50 have it? Here's a hint. It's more than 0 and less than 51.
Gee, thanks, Scott.
Mm-hmm. You can thank Brian. That was written by Brian. You can thank him.
That was me. I wrote that in there.
It was pretty good.
Thanks, Brian. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's take a minute to think here. We, you know, reptiles are not in abundance in every state. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure of any reptiles in Michigan. Can you think of a reptile
from Michigan?
To Michigan?
From
Detroit.
Detroit M&M.
Milk snake.
Oh,
the Detroit milk snake.
Yeah.
The
goes by M&M for short. And he raps.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Right. So I'm gonna say reptiles mostly stay either they're kind of in that desert area, or they're kind of in barren areas, or sometimes they'll be kind of in swampy areas, right? So I'm counting those states in my head now. I'm gonna go state reptiles are known in 15 of the states.
15
recognize reptiles,
all right,
as a state reptile.
All right, cool.
15.
So let's find out if that's correct. I mean, maybe it's right, and if it's right, then he automatically wins. So let's see.
Right.
Brian, is he right?
15 is incorrect. Oh. Josh, is the actual answer higher or lower than 15?
That's pretty close to what I was thinking too. But with snakes everywhere, I'll say higher.
Higher than that, all right. Oh yeah, that's true. There's snakes all over the place.
Yeah, I didn't think about snakes. Dang it.
I forgot about snakes. Yeah, they're
everywhere. Makes sense though. They are reptiles.
I walked around Mississippi for 3 weeks with a baby water moccasin in my pocket before someone told me that as soon as that thing matured.
Is that a baby baby water moccasin in your pocket?
No, they informed me. They
or
said,
you're just disappointing me.
If you keep holding on to that, it's gonna mature and bite you and kill you. And I went, and I threw it in the weeds. So there you go. Well, let's find out. Is that correct? Is it higher?
Congratulations.
It is indeed.
You're a winner.
Josh in Mansfield, Ohio, you win the Captain Kirk t-shirt, the Ready Player One keychain, and a print pack from Scott. The answer is 26 states have an official state reptile, and two of the three of us live in a state with one, the Western Painted Turtle in Colorado, the Loggerhead Turtle for South Carolina.
That's right, baby.
Sea Turtle.
Yeah,
lots of those things around here.
There's we don't have a state reptile. That's weird.
We don't have a state reptile in Utah now.
We have so many reptiles though, like especially in the southern part of the state, it's crawling with them.
I know, because I mean Texas has the horned lizard, Arizona's got a rattlesnake, Nevada has the desert tortoise. So I mean it's the New Mexico whiptail lizard. All around us are states with reptiles, but for whatever reason you didn't end up with any. Mississippi also has the American alligator. You were talking about the
alligators, yeah, duh.
But Louisiana also has the American alligator, and of course Florida has the American alligator.
That you can't do that. Are they both claiming that as their
all
state?
All three of those states are claiming that as their official state.
You can't
state.
Do that.
Sure you can.
And
you're the South.
Thing. Florida has three official state.
Yeah,
some cheating. No wonder I couldn't get this right. You didn't tell me there was cheating.
There's
involved.
No cheating. It's the South. This is what they do, dude. They're like, oh, we're not gonna be like those Yankees, and they do their own damn thing. This is the South for you. The alligator Mississippi penis. How do you say that?
Yeah,
Florida's particular alligator. One of them is alligator Mississippi penis.
Piensis.
Oh, piensis.
Mississippiensis.
Dang you, Mississippi. Is all they do around Mississippi is sit around trying to think of tongue twisters? It's like, it's all they do.
No, there's more, but it's none of it's good what they do down there. Anyway, congratulations, Mississippi. Once again, you're the butt of everyone's joke. So there you go. Congratulations. You're going to get this stuff, Josh. All you got to do is send an email to briancoverville@gmail.com. He will forward your address to me for the prints, and the rest of it will be sent to you shortly. Thank you for playing, and congratulations. Brian Dunaway, you've done a good deed today. Well done.
Thank you.
Let's see. Somebody in the chat says, Scott saw wieners. Big surprise. Look, I didn't see wieners. It says Mississippi penis. Look, I mean, it doesn't, but let me show you what I saw.
It's close.
Yeah. Here's what I saw. Let me zoom in here. Okay, chat room, now you can see it. Alligator Mississippi Ensis. Mississippi Ensis.
Ensis.
Excuse me.
You see what you see, Scott. You just...
You get rid of one of those eyes, it's penis.
Or actually the S, the extra S.
Oh, yeah. That's true. All right. Anyway, this
Scott spells penis.
Scott does math, and Scott does whatever is great. Scott does geography. No one's ever says Scott spells penis. You've been a real treat. May your day be filled with greater treats. And you can find him at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter, everybody. And we look forward to hearing more from our good buddy, Brian Dunaway. All right.
Yes, we do.
He's gone.
Okay.
Guess what? Now we have this.
This
what
is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
What we now have is the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville Today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Coverville's back because the website's working again. I had to upgrade the server. It was just pulling so much RAM because of that awesome search engine that John Funk put in there, where you can search for songs, not just search for podcasts. Oh, no. Right there on the side, you can actually say, hey, show me all the people who've covered Sound of Silence. Oh, look, Disturbed did it. Did you know that? Anyway, all that is right there at Coverville.com. And today, live on the show, we're going to be taking a trip through the musical history of Andrew Lloyd Webber. You know, the guy who did Cats and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and Jesus Christ Superstar and all that stuff. But covers of those. So you're going to hear people like Dee Snider of Twisted Sister and Queensryche, as well as Lana Del Rey and more. All this and more, like I said, coming up at Coverville, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Is it cool to like Lana Del Rey? Is that okay?
I think it's okay now.
Because for a while, yeah, I felt like I was being discriminated against because I like her. Now, I think she's good.
I know. It was after that really bizarre Saturday Night Live appearance where apparently she was a last-minute replacement for somebody else that couldn't show up. Mm. So she really didn't have anything prepared. So her sitting there and gently swaying while she's singing about video games was apparently the result of just kind of no time.
Oh, I didn't know that. Who bowed out or didn't show up?
I don't know who did. It's easy we can find out. But her Ultraviolence album,
yeah,
I think is really, really good. Yeah. And that kind of got me back on the Lana Del Rey wagon.
I'm all in. I think she's got a really interesting voice, and I've liked her since the beginning. I think that Summertime Sadness song is great.
Oh, yeah, that
like,
is good.
I'm never had a problem with her, but everyone was always going, you know what it was? A lot of people are going, I don't like how her lower lip moves weird when she sings or whatever. She kind of has that weird,
I think
like...
People in our community just didn't like her because she was chastising her boyfriend in that song for playing video games. Like, she comes over and is like, hey, want to do something? No, I'm playing World of Warcraft. Buzz off. Okay, but I'll just sit here and mope.
Yeah.
And
I could see that, maybe. I like her, though. And also, she did, so it's funny you bring up that Andrew Lloyd Webber thing.
Yeah.
This is why you're bringing it up, I know. But he's got that whole album of covers of songs from his productions.
Uh-huh.
And I heard the one she did, probably the one you're going to play.
It is the one I'm going to play. Yep.
It's gorgeous.
It is really good. Yeah, it's from Evita.
Yeah.
And it's excellent. Yeah.
So good.
Lots of great stuff. Dee Snider, who else do I have coming up? I've got, for you fans of Doctor Who, John Barrowman got a cover. I mean, he's done like 47 different covers of
John Barrowman, TV's The Punisher.
No, that's Bernthal. No, but he has been on American TV. He's Merlin Malcolm on The Arrow.
TV's Malcolm in the Middle.
Let's see. Nightwish, Big Daddy, Sporty Spice. You can hear about the Afghan Whigs, a bunch of different covers of Andrew Lloyd Webber songs today on the show. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time.
Always sneaking a whatchamacallit in there, Spice Girl in there, aren't you? Always getting
one in. If I can, I will put a Spice Girl into every show.
I love that. All right. Here's our first story. You can take a DNA test to find out if your housemates are compatible with you or not. Specifically, your personality traits. So if you've ever had like a bad roommate, have you ever had a bad roommate? Is that ever a
thing? Don't trust the bee in apartment 23 and me. I have had bad roommates.
You have. I'm trying to think
if I was in college.
A
guy named, I'm just going to say his first name.
Okay.
Jay. And Jay would listen to the Moody Blues Nights in White Satin at least once a day. He'd play it on his little cassette player.
Okay.
And it's a good song, but daily, you just don't like that. He chewed tobacco, and he always had a Mountain Dew, a clear plastic Mountain Dew bottle on the our desk that we shared with chaw spit in it.
Oh, gosh, dude.
And he'd get up really late for class. Like, I was the driver. He didn't have a car, and I was his driver, and he'd get up really late for class. And instead of ever washing his clothes or even getting, you know, putting on something new, he would just take his sweatshirt that he wore yesterday and turn it inside out and wear it to class.
Gross.
Yeah.
This is a horrible roommate.
He was kind of a horrible roommate, yeah.
He's somebody's bad husband now, you know.
He might be. Yeah. You know, I mean, I haven't looked up the guy in a long time. I wonder what's going on with him. He was an amazingly talented artist, though. My God, the dude had
this.
So
is,
much
this is what happens. The more talent you have, the more jacked up you are.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I won't make any. I mean, you and I are pretty stable, but I know a lot of artist folk who, they got so much art in them, the rest of it just can't keep up.
Yeah, I think this has got to be him. I'm guessing.
Oh no way.
Yeah,
I won't put it on screen, but send me a thing. I don't see a link. I won't put it on the screen, though.
He's one of those people who, and it's not like a bad thing, but he puts his wife in his profile picture on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which I think for some people, it's just a, hey, I love my wife. I want her in my photo.
Yeah.
For other people, it's like, hey, look, see?
Look, I turned out okay. Someone likes me.
Right, exactly.
Oh, look, he's kind of a nerd. All kinds of Star Wars stuff. Looks like he's got a kid. Jewish guy, is he? Says here.
Sure, could be.
Hanukkah business getting talked about. All right, well, you know, maybe he's maybe that's fine. I can't still help but look at that image and go, yeah, that shirt's probably inside out. All right, well, that was.
But really, you know, gotta say, with all that stuff, he was a really nice guy. He was not a. I could have had a jerk roommate, and I didn't. I had a roommate who just. You know, didn't spend a lot of time on personal hygiene.
Mm-hmm. I've had those. I know what's up. Well, you can take this test now to give you give you an idea of what personality traits are going to be. So if it's slobbiness or they pee in the sink full of dishes, that's never happened to me, as far as I know.
Sure.
It's no fun living with people that make your skin crawl. And because we live in a glorious time where technology and science reign supreme, you can do a DNA test on potential housemates or on yourself if you want. To see the people you're most compatible with. It's not creepy or intrusive at all. Just ask them for a swab of their saliva. That's it. Simple as that. Take this swab, rub it in your cheek. Better one awkward conversation than living indefinitely with somebody who shits all over the sofa when they're pissed.
This is true. So,
says this article. Yeah.
Do you do this like when they're applying to be your roommate, or do you like get a swab if they're sleeping with their mouth open, or
I think you do it as you're interviewing for someone to come be a new housemate. I think that's what you do.
Is that okay?
Yeah. All
right. Seems like a good way to do it.
Kind of like when you're getting a job. Otherwise it's clandestine and they're already there. So if they're already there and you get a sample, that's no good because they're there already. You're already screwed if they're not compatible with you. I don't know. And this thing probably doesn't work very well. And also, hey, I'd like to encourage people. Maybe try and get along with people you don't necessarily match with all the time. It's actually a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah, you learn a lot, and it makes you grow as a person.
We let Justin on the show once a week, every week. Think
and
of that.
If that isn't the perfect example of the sand that gets in the oyster shell so that we can create a pearl, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. That's exactly
He's
right.
The sand that helps smooth our pearl.
Can you? Okay, sorry. Side question: is that possible? Can you put a grain of sand, force it into a clam, and then get a pearl out of it? Is that a thing?
I think you can. I think people do that. Like, I think you can harvest pearls by putting a little bit of grit in there, and then they'll like, oh, this is sharp on my entire gelatinous gross body that is delicious with cocktail sauce and horseradish. But I'm just gonna rub it until it becomes a pearl. So yeah, that's how people harvest pearls. I don't know if it works 100% of the time, but
sure.
They,
I wonder if you could just dump them into a big sandy mixture and it would just happen naturally or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, people are saying that's the J.C. Calhoun says that's the term cultured pearl. So you hear the term cultured pearls.
Oh.
That's, I did not realize. I thought it was just pearls that you could take out to a fancy dinner as opposed to, going to Pizza Hut.
But hold on, is that like a, is this like
these girls are cultured. I go to a fancy restaurant with a tablecloth when I wear these pearls.
Are these like the cubic zirconia of pearls then? Because they're
they're not natural. Made exactly the same way.
Well, yeah, but so are diamonds. They just speed up the process.
But cubic zirconia is not the same material as a diamond. A pearl is a pearl, whether you force the oyster to make it or it happens naturally.
I thought cubic zirconias were literally diamond material. They just are forced into being.
No. Cubic zirconia is like, it's like a manufactured.
What material is it?
Cubic zirconia. Like it's here we go. It is a, it's zirconium dioxide.
It's a synthesized material. Is hard. Let's see, optically flawless. All my life I thought.
You thought it was just like a diamond that wasn't natural. Like
I thought they forced it. Like they took some carbon and jammed it into a thing and said, all right, let's hurry this up. I really did. This whole time I thought that's that was.
No.
Well,
no,
shit. That's crazy.
Let's see. Cubic zirconia has a hardness rating of 8 versus diamond has 10.
Yeah.
The density of cubic zirconia is about 1.7 times that of a diamond. The refractive index is 2.15 to 2.18 compared to diamonds 2.42. Let's see. Color. Only the rarest of diamonds usually are truly colorless, but cubic zirconia is almost always colorless.
Yeah. A little bit of color, maybe.
And cubic zirconia is a thermal insulator, whereas diamond is a very good thermal conductor.
Oh, interesting.
So you're not going to get your blood zirconias.
No. No. I had no idea.
Get your blood diamonds.
This is crazy. I seriously, for the longest time, thought it was a sped up carbon. Superman would do. Superman would take carbon and squeeze it real hard and a diamond would come out like that.
That would be a diamond. Yeah, I mean, because he could do that.
Right.
But it's almost like the difference between, no, it's not. It's very different from the difference between crab and crab with a K. Because that's still whitefish. You're still eating the seafood. Well, I guess it's still a crystal.
Right.
It just is a cheaper alternative that is made to look like the thing that you think it is and taste like the thing it is.
Yeah. Well, I guess I could read more, but I'd never even heard of this. Apparently the Russians are chiefly responsible for perfecting the cubic zirconia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. After a documentary I just watched, I'm so mad at Russia that I can't even be happy for them.
Oh, the steroid one, right?
Icarus, yeah. That thing goes places, dude. Have you seen it? You saw it, didn't you?
No, huh?
Oh, you should watch that, dude.
I will, yeah. It's on the list.
That is something else. That was going to be my recommendal today, but I'm going to save it.
I wouldn't, I don't think I'd watch it if I still had the Russian neighbors, because then I'd be like dumping trash in their backyard if I didn't like the documentary.
Yeah, and all of that is, as we know, too much hassle. Hey, a woman died after acupuncture. Now, normally this isn't a thing. You don't usually die from that, even if people aren't great at it. She died because you've done acupuncture, right? Or no, your wife did when she was dealing with her stuff. And it helped her, didn't it?
Yeah, and it did help her. She said that it helped her with bone pain. Oh, by the way, she's actually going to be starting up a blog to help other people with their cancer, like talking about all the things that helped her a lot. I mean, so many people in the Tadpool have reached out to Tina about her experience because they're going through it or they know somebody's going through it, and she's giving them so much advice. She's like, I should just do a blog and like put, you know, here are some, like, get this kind of heating pad or drink this kind of tea and stuff like that.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Do we we have a URL yet or is it all
no, not
still?
Yet. Okay. We don't even, we're trying to come up with a name and we keep coming up with the dumbest names, like Cancer Answers. or So You've Got Cancer.
Wait a minute. Did someone already have this Cancer Answer?
I'm sure somebody already has it, but even if that was available, we wouldn't do that because it sounds so.
Now someone's squatting it. It's a squatter.
Let them have it. It's so dorky.
Yeah.
So if somebody does have a like an idea for a really good blog name for Tina,
Pops and Recline, he combined it. Cancers.
Cancers.
Yeah, bad idea.
Jester Wood did as
well. Well, don't worry, everybody. We'll pimp the hell out of that on here.
As soon as it's up and running, we'll.
Well, this lady.
Lymphoma Palooza.
Yeah, there you go. Lymphoma Palooza. Fantastic Doc Med Bot.
Even better. Okay, so I'm sorry. I keep punching what we were talking about.
Lymphoma Palooza.
JC Calhoun says, I'll bet canceranswers.pizza is available. I'll bet it is, yes.
All right. Okay. Anyway, this poor lady died. Here's the thing happened. Instead of using instead of regular needles, she used bee stings. This seems like a bad idea. It's this weird alternative way of doing it. She was a 55-year-old Spanish woman. She died receiving live bee acupuncture, according to a case study published in the Journal of Investigative Allergology.
There's a G that shouldn't be in there.
Allergology.
Gift. Because you say allergy, so I guess you do a soft G there. Allergology.
Yeah, allergy. Got it. Allergy. and clinical immunology says the cause of death was a severe allergic reaction to the venom. Okay, well, this story could have a different headline. It could be woman with severe allergy to bee stings dies because didn't know it and got a bunch of bee stings during
this.
Well,
but here's the thing. This was her 25th session.
Oh, shit. you're right. It is. Let's see. Previously attended 24 sessions, believed to be the first person to die from the therapy despite previously showing no signs of an allergic reaction. That's weird. Let's see. Apitherapy is what it's called, is the use of substances from honeybees to relieve various medical conditions. Some practices use honey or royal jelly. What's royal jelly? Tell me that's that was King George's lube.
It's what Prince Charles does when he's all alone.
Where's the royal jelly?
No, it's a bee byproduct.
Bring me some royal jelly. Oh, wait, so that's the stuff that comes out. You know what? Everything about bee byproducts is gross. I was thinking this the other day. I love honey. Honey is so good. Honey is so good. And I had it on this bread, and it was this great bread I got at the Village Baker thing, and so good, and I'm eating it, and then it suddenly hits me. This came out of the ass or the feet of a bunch of bees. Think about it. It's bee goo. It's bee bodily goop. And I know they get it from, you know.
I think it's more bee saliva than bee.
Oh, that really helps. That really.
Toe jam or butt sauce. I think it's like it's more bee vomit than anything else.
That's so gross. Think about it. You're eating a whole piece of bread covered in bee vomit. Oh, bee barf. Anyway, don't get bee acupuncture is our bottom line there.
Yeah, that's probably, it just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, this is all true. All right, this one I'm going to save. Let's talk about this final story here about a gulp.
It just says milk is cow boob poop. Or cow boob goop.
cow boob goop is true. That's true.
Cow boob goop, yes.
Bee vomit is delicious. That's the problem. It's gross. I know, jackalope. Tells me to get over it. By the way, my least favorite term in the English language is get over it. I hate it.
Mine is my bad.
Oh, I don't like that one either.
No.
But when
bad
people say
grammar?
When people say things like, Trump won, get over it. I want to grab them by the wiener and flay them.
Yeah.
I don't know why I need their wiener for that, but whatever.
I'll get over it in my own time. You're telling me to get over it is not going to make me get over it any faster. In fact, you're delaying the process of me getting over it.
Yeah. Yeah. So quit saying it. And then they say, my bad. And then we're mad at them again.
Now, Josh in the chat room is saying, oh, my bad, Brian. Oh, Josh.
Gotcha, Derek. You guys live in the same state. You guys could go to blows. You could go to fisticuffs.
We're having dinner this weekend. So
just you
wait, Josh.
Fight. Golf cart driving Florida man tries to blow up neighbor's chickens with homemade whiskey bomb during dispute over a BB gun.
We don't need any more than that headline, do we? Like,
nope.
I think that answers, that asks and answers every question.
Pretty much.
Golf cart driving Florida man tries to blow up neighbor's chickens with homemade whiskey bomb during dispute over BB gun. I could write a movie. It's like three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. It's like the assassination of...
Robert, the coward Robert Ford should be at the end of this.
Exactly. Yes.
It says a man who crafted a bomb inside a whiskey bottle and blew it up in another man's backyard was charged with a crime. Scott Frederick Wegener, age 55, says this was charged with possession or discharge of a destructive device. Oh, speaking of which, I'm so glad that stuff down in Houston or in Austin's solved. The guy committed suicide with his own bomb in a parking lot when they confronted him. So they found him. He's 24 years old, and it hit me. And I put this on Twitter this morning. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I have a daughter who's just a couple of months younger than him. Okay, my oldest. He's busy building things that murder and kill people and destroy things. She's busy trying to get cheaper dog food for Izzy and get all the skin she can for Brigitte in the new Overwatch character.
Right.
Like, what different lives could people live and be exactly the same origin date? It's so weird to me. I don't know why that's so weird. It's just so weird to me.
It's obviously, it's the, you know, to kind of circle back, it's the amount of sand in the oyster, right? I mean, your daughter had just the right amount of sand to turn her into a pearl. He had, he just came out sand.
Yeah. All sand, a little bit of poo, a little bit of clam poo, all of that.
I'm still a little nervous that there are other packages that he sent. I'm hoping that they can, you know, they found him, chased him down in his car and he blew himself up in a parking lot. But I'm hoping that his house, which is probably booby trapped, I hate to say, kind of scary thought, but hopefully they can get in there and find evidence of anybody else that he might have sent something to so that they can protect them.
And for those in the chat, Mush Potato saying he's mental illness plays a role. No, I know.
Well,
I understand. Of course there's something wrong here. I don't mean that. How weird, they were born the same time and one made bombs. I know it's more than that.
Right.
I'm just saying it feels weird because I've got a kid his age. That's why. That's why it feels weird. I think that makes sense. Oh, don't you come at me, Mush Potatoes. Don't you come at me.
Tell me about this golf cart driving guy.
All right. So anonymous caller Wednesday warned he had detonated an improvised explosive device and was threatening it again. The caller said Winnegar, nicknamed Spider. Spider.
Ooh. Spider.
Sounds like a Breaking Bad character.
Yeah,
totally. Was in a dispute with somebody over the theft of a BB gun and had offered to pay a friend to crawl under the man's home to plant the IED. Investigators from the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office and FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. When did they add explosives on there? Remember, it didn't used to be that way.
What do you mean?
Bureau of
Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Yeah, it used to just be alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. It used to be.
Right. Yeah,
the ATF.
Sometime in the last 5 to 10 years, I think.
The ATFE.
Right, right. It used to just say, the ATF.
They didn't find any bomb-making stuff there, so just these Canadian mist bottles were empty in a red golf cart. he pulled up to the house with the golf cart, began to hang out, or they began to hang out. The Winnegar guy said, or Spider, said he was going to kill the chickens in the yard. He went to his golf cart and retrieved a Canadian mist bottle filled with black powder, sand, and a green fuse, and threw it over the thing to blow up the chickens. Well done.
Jeez. I love that, just like they put everything into that headline. Golf cart driving Florida man tries to blow up neighbor's chickens with a homemade whiskey bomb during dispute over a BB gun. We never even found out about the BB gun, right? Like, they never.
He just says
in a dispute with somebody over the theft of a BB
gun. Yeah, it just says somebody took his BB gun, and that's it. That seems like a lot of really crazy lengths to go over a stolen BB gun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But what do I know? We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom, Nicole, all that stuff. So stick around. Brian, what song we got to break it?
I've got a song by an indie pop, indie rock band called Sayers. These guys are based out of Chicago. And according to Midwest Action, they are a damn fine indie rock band. I wholeheartedly agree. They released their first EP, which was called Diogenes Club. It's a word I've seen. I've never pronounced it. D-I-O-G-E-N-E-S. Diogenes.
Sounds right. Sure.
Anyway, they released that and did really well. They've got their brand new upcoming album, which is called Horror Stories, produced by Rob Bochnik, who is the lead guitarist for Glenn Hansard's band. Glenn Hansard, the guy from Once, who did that song Falling Slowly, you know the guy.
Yeah.
And Mike Hagler, who is producer for Wilco and Nico Case. Like, they've got a good pedigree here. The new album is called Horror Stories. It comes out April 13th, so a little under a month you can pick up the whole thing. For right now, though, we've got this song right here. It's a song called Get Naked. Here are Sayers.
See you guys in a sec.
Get naked. sweater. I like your skin, suntan leather. And when you come home sick from the doctor,
let's talk about the Bissell Bark Bath. This entire episode brought to you by them. Look, it's winter. It's almost impossible to clean your dog outside. If you're one of those people that cleans your dog outside with a hose and all that, can't do it. It's too cold. Stuff's freezing. At least it is in my neighborhood. I don't want to hear from you Floridians or Californians. Anyway, it can cause huge mess in the bathroom as well. Cleanup's a pain. Groomers are expensive. The Bissell Bark Bath allows parents of nice pets. You know, you're a parent of a pet. Think of it that way. You can clean it with virtually no mess, eliminating the inevitable cleanup that comes along with washing a four-legged family member. This all-in-one system can be used in any room of the house, anytime, with minimal mess. The Bark Bath works with any length of fur or hair, and it uses this no-rinse shampoo, which also doesn't hurt the animal, doesn't irritate them, doesn't bug them, doesn't get in their eyes, none of that. Specially designed nozzles get beneath the fur and down to the skin. the true source of the stink. And that allows water and shampoo to wash the skin clean while a soft suction pulls dirt and water away. I'm using one. I used it on Rainer. She didn't like it at first, but now she's getting the hang of it. It's like anything with a pet, right? They got to get used to it, but this thing was quick for her to get used to. Anyway, they use less than 48 ounces of water to clean pets up to 80 pounds. Now, compare that with traditional bathing in a tub. That can be like 19 gallons of water. Dude, look at the water you're saving. Your water bill and the environment. All that stuff. Anyway, I've had a great experience with it. So will you. Especially you with shaggy dogs. What a great way to clean your dog without being a nightmare. Visit Bissell.com/TMS. That's Bissell.com/TMS. Learn more and get your very own bark bath. If you use TMS as your code, you get two bottles for absolutely for free of the no-rinse shampoo with your order. That's, again, Bissell.com/TMS. And use that coupon code TMS at checkout and get free shampoo, baby. The Bissell Bark Bath is awesome.
Today I drive my Pontiac to town in a few minutes to see the latest Paris gown.
Is this new Pontiac equipped with freewheeling? Naturally.
Cheese, Dick. I know that one. How about that?
This is the Morning Stream. AM!
All right, we're back, everybody. We're back.
We are. We are indeed back.
Hey, Mush Potatoes in the chat, I was totally kidding earlier. I think he thinks I was mad. I wasn't mad. Never mad. You kidding?
No. Why are you mad, bro? Not mad, bro.
No. Always joking around. Never mad. Well, once in a while I'm mad, but it's never at anybody. You guys are always great. Unless you come in here spouting a bunch of hooey and you get banned. You guys are awesome.
Right.
I love you. Okay.
Tom time. Gotta get him all up
in this. Get his segment on, as the kids say.
That's right.
Always a good time.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man that we're referring to is Tom Merritt. And hit record, and now we hit this button. Bobby Cole, my sweet Nicole. All right, instead of doing Tom, because we don't know where he is. I don't know where Tom is.
Oh, yeah. I thought Tom was on.
No, he's somewhere. I don't know where he is. Yeah. Usually,
he'd be on as well. So it's.
I was cleaning the house because I was like, oh, Tom's going to be talking for a while.
Yeah, no, usually you can expect a good 15 minutes there, but he's not even in the chat. So something may have come up this morning. I'll try to catch up with him later. But it's all good. It's good to have Nicole here. We're going to do recommendals. We take stuff from streaming services and talk about what we've seen. And Brian, as tradition holds, you have to be the first one to do it.
I will go first, and I have a couple of them today, as you have recognized. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the regular one.
All right, here it is. This 36 is, seconds. Any setup you want to?
Is something from last year, and it's now available for streaming, and it's enjoyable as heck.
All right, let's give it a look.
Yesterday, as you were leaving the bar, you said the word cauliflower.
That's right. I didn't.
The last time you said that word to me, I ended up getting sent down for 6 months.
It was juvie.
I was 13.
And you were supposed to be the lookout, now weren't you?
Being that I was your kid brother, I let you lead me into trouble with all your crazy cauliflower plans. My life of crime is over. But you did make breakfast this morning. Even burned the bacon like I like, and you ate.
I love Logan Lucky so much.
Yeah, and it's now streaming on Amazon Prime. That was that's Kylo Ren you're hearing with that thick Southern accent. He plays the brother to Channing Tatum, the one-handed brother of Channing Tatum in this heist film.
How it says cauliflower.
Yeah, cauliflower. Yeah. He's so good. He's my favorite thing in the movie. I love him.
I will finish the cauliflower being started.
Anyway, it's got Riley Keough, maybe that's how it's pronounced, Channing Tatum, Katie Holmes is kind of like the angry ex-wife, mm-hmm. Adam Driver, Seth MacFarlane is a kind of an over-the-top British race sponsor.
took me half the movie to know it was him.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, it took me a while to figure out who he was. And then you saw how close his eyes were together. I'm like, wait a minute. I know that face. Mm-hmm. I know that face because he's got a big old mustache and beard. Yeah. Like, I know that guy. Yeah. And then I looked it up and.
Really great in it, though. This is a, what's his name? Soderbergh movie, right?
Steven Soderbergh? Steven Soderbergh movie, yeah. And then a very subdued Daniel Craig.
Oh, yes.
Like Daniel very Craig, non-James dude. Bond. Like, you've got James Bond and Kylo Ren in the same film.
They went as far on the movie posters for this movie to say, they have the cast names, and at the bottom it says, and introducing Daniel Craig.
Right, introducing.
Which is so weird, but then when you see it, you go, it kind of is reintroducing him. Like, he is so different in this than anything you've seen him in.
Yeah, it is really good. And Adam Driver, I mean, he's really good in this as well. It's a decent heist film. And, you know, I love heist films.
Me too. Love them.
Especially when there are twists and turns that you don't expect.
I like how quirky it is. And just, it's almost like there's just a little bit of Coen Brothers mashed in there, you know?
A little bit. Yeah. Dwight Yoakam is the warden of the prison.
Oh, he's great in this. And great. I forgot that was, it took me like half the movie to say, oh my gosh, it's Dwight Yoakam.
I was like, who is that? Tina and I are both like, who is that? The Sling Blade guy, right? And we're like, yeah, who is that? And sure enough.
Yeah.
So worth checking out. And like I say, if you've got Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free there. Logan Lucky is the name of the film.
Well, if you have a subscription, but yes, free there.
Well, I'm saying if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it.
Yeah. Then it's free.
Free, I mean, in quotes.
Sort of paid for it, but yes, free in quotes. All right, great. There's number one. You got a bonus this week, I see.
I have a bonus, and this one's going to go very quickly because I don't want to tell you anything more about it than letting you hear the clip and telling you the name of the movie. Right. So let's hear the clip.
Here it is.
To see something come out of the water that you can't quite explain, that's an adventure. You want to know more.
What was Sacago, as big and valuable as this, doing off this stretch of the East African coast?
To actually find something that's not been seen for lifetimes, it's almost like finding something in its natural habitat. It's unbelievable to start with, but that makes you believe it.
Idea.
That weird music at the end, it's like doo 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 doo. Sounded like that movie Love like that I recommended.
Oh, really? That's similar for sure.
No, this is a 2017 documentary called Treasure from the Wreck of the Unbelievable.
Treasure from the Wreck of the Unbelievable.
Treasures
not the Titanic.
Not the Titanic. Treasures from the Wreck of the Unbelievable. And the less you know about this thing going in, the better. Because after you watch it, then you'll maybe start digging into it and you'll find out some interesting stuff about it.
Where is it streaming?
Where is this?
It's streaming on Netflix.
I love this kind of thing.
So if you're paying for Netflix, you can watch it for free.
Yeah, if you pay for it, it's free. That's how it works.
Exactly.
So wait, I want to write this down. This sounds like something right up my butt. What is it?
Give Treasures from the Wreck of the Unbelievable.
There it is. Oh, it looks like such a cheap thumbnail too.
The artwork is, it seems really dorky, like somebody created that in Final Cut Pro or something. But like,
something I would do.
Yes, right. This was recommended to me, by the way, by a listener, and I'm gonna find their name really quick. Mike Humphrey, listener Mike Humphrey, recommended it to me. And also did the same thing and said, you know, don't find out too much information about it. The less you know about before you watch, the better. And then you go.
Add it to my list.
Yeah, me too. This looks great. I'm in. And I don't want to know more because I love this kind of stuff. I'm going to go deep dive on this. No pun intended. Yes. But I love stuff like this. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah. It's funny because I've been watching a lot of documentaries myself, and the only hint for today is I've chosen one of the two documentaries I watched to recommend on the show today. So
it's a documentary day.
It is a documentary day. Too. Oh, do you really? Wow.
Yeah, yes.
All right. Well, here's mine. See if you guys can figure it out.
Everybody felt they were there at the beginning of the great experiment. Like we were the chosen people.
I'm here in one of the largest ranches in the Northwest.
Today, it's Rajneesh Puram, because a prominent Indian guru and his followers bought it.
Our vision was to create a community
based on compassion and sharing.
Bhagwan's agenda was simply to raise the consciousness of humanity. That was his goal.
All right. Any ideas?
Wild Wild West or something like that.
Close. Wild Wild Country is the name.
Country.
Yeah.
Country.
Yeah. It's a Netflix documentary, so it's on Netflix for free if you pay for Netflix. having too much fun with that. This is a 2018 documentary. Just came out. And it is directed by Chapman Way and McLean Way. They're working together on this. However, it's produced by the Duplass brothers, who do a lot of really interesting different kinds of work.
I love them.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
They've done some really cool movies.
This is a movie. This is a series, so it's not just a single thing. It's like a docuseries in the way that How to Make a Murder or whatever that thing was called. Mm-hmm. It's like that. It's like six episodes, I want to say.
Yeah.
And completely binged the hell out of it. Like, I was way into it. And I didn't even know about this. Somehow, I live in a Western state, and this weird thing that happened in Oregon in the 80s, just not on my radar. Now, as a kid, and I didn't care probably about the news, and so I bet my parents knew about it, but I had no idea. But they had this big, empty hunk of land up in Oregon, right next to this tiny, tiny little town. And then all of a sudden, kind of out of nowhere, a bunch of people show up who wear nothing but red clothing. They buy up this ranch. They follow this dude called Osho, or at the time, Bhagwan was his name. He's this Indian kind of, not mystic, but kind of offshoot from Hindu stuff. But he was super like sex guru, weird meditation practices that were very physical and just kind of one of these deals, right? Huge following, a whole bunch of people showed up there, and that is all I'm going to say, because what happens next, a little bit like Brian's washed up on the shore thing, you just can't believe it. Like, wow. You cannot believe where this goes and how many directions it goes, and who they get to interview from then is it's just insane. And I never even knew about it, completely under my radar. I really liked it, like a lot. And I think people would like it. It's also just, I don't know, just there's cool music used for it. It's also a very straight documentary. This isn't one of those ones where they drama things up too much. I hate that normally. This just is just really smartly made. And man, the footage they get from back then is the weirdest stuff happened in Oregon in 1982 through 5. It's crazy. So Wild Wild Country, available now on Netflix. Highly, highly recommended. I'll bet that's up for an award. I don't know if they do series though, do they, for the Oscar stuff?
I feel like they did. Didn't the Jinx get? Maybe it just got an Emmy. It didn't get a.
Maybe Emmy's where Oscar. We'd have to. Yeah, maybe it'd be an Emmy. But whatever, whatever they do for those things, this has to be nominated if not win, because it's freaking fascinating, and it gave me the willies at the same time. There were some heartening parts of it. There were sad parts of it. There were just like, how did this happen parts of this? It's crazy. Oh my gosh, the freaking salmonella part. You guys are going to die. It's amazing.
Oh God, okay.
You got to see it. Wild Wild Country on Netflix now for free if you have Netflix. All right.
All right, so I'm going to send you my clip through the chat. Brian, don't look.
I won't look.
Sounds good.
So it was between this and the Wild Wild Country that I was going to watch, and I decided to watch the movie. This is just a movie versus a series.
I wonder. Well, we'll see, I guess. I wonder if...
brand new, just came out on Netflix original documentary.
All right, here we go. Man, they're killing it with these lately, aren't they? Just great stuff from Netflix. Okay, here's the clip.
I learned about ADD after being on the medication. I didn't know what it was. All I knew was for school.
And then when I got here and I was like, holy shit, everybody takes Adderall. Everyone. I take it right when I wake up. It takes about 40 minutes to kick in. And you can feel it. I start to sweat. My heart accelerates.
My handwriting got neater. I thought that was so cool.
My mind came alive. My body felt alive. It works like a bang.
Adderall, warning. Side effects may include being awesome at everything.
Oh my gosh, dude. I was afraid you were going to pick my other one that I saw and you didn't. It's the one I do want to see though. What's it called? What's the name?
So this is called Take Your Pills. And it is scary. It's because it is a deep dive into the pharmaceuticals, Ritalin, Adderall, and I think there's one more, but it talks about
basically prescription speed.
Like you did, there was more to the trailer because the clip you played makes Adderall seem awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they do go into the negative side effects. And one of the things, my dogs are going crazy. Hey, stop it.
Mark.
Back it up.
If it ain't Mark, it's Millie.
I know. So later on, they talk about, this is not new. This has been around since like the 1920s when amphetamines were first discovered. Mm-hmm. And how in society they have kind of showed up and then gone away and then come back, been rebranded. How it was just very interesting. One of the quotes from one of the people being interviewed goes, you know, in the 60s when I grew up, we took drugs to tune out. This newer generation are taking drugs to tune in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Get their attention spans back. Basically.
And that the kids these days are in this hyper competitive environment that it never ends, and they feel like they need to get a leg up. And then so I would, if you do watch this movie, the reviews on it are interesting because there's a lot of bad reviews of it. Mm-hmm. Because people that actually have ADHD, this does help them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like a lot of medications, like, you know, painkillers or whatever. There's cases where you're like, this is what this was for. This is exactly right. What it's for. But it's just taken someplace else. I mean, Adderall in colleges, high schools even. It's a big problem. And basically it's speed. It's methamphetamine it's illegal meth.
And that's what they talk about, the social classes, right. Where if you have access to the right doctor, you know, they talk about the difference of meth versus basically Adderall, which right. is, and it's interesting how they get the names too, like over the history, how Ritalin was named. And it was fascinating kind of to see the history behind it.
Yeah.
They interview extensively a football player and talk about Adderall in sports and how you can get medical exemptions. And a huge majority of athletes now have these medical exemptions for Adderall.
Mm.
And it was just really fascinating. And I could see how you could walk away from this. I was watching, if you look at the comments on that, on the YouTube trailer, somebody's like, oh, this is a commercial for Adderall. And it kind of feels that way at times, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're extolling the virtues of it in this thing. Yeah.
But then you get into the deeper side of it and we're coming to a bad place with it.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, they talk about, you know, right now the focus is opioids.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced firsthand how doctors are trying to avoid opioids.
Sure.
Instead giving horse tranquilizers instead. And it kind of gets into, you know, how do you manage pain and these conditions, and, you know, when there's such benefits. And that they had a psychologist on there and talking about how people kind of get conditioned into, oh, well, I'll just take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
I had something good come from that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it can get weird.
Opioids. Out of me.
Yeah, I imagine so. And there's a lot of documentaries like this that are, you know, there's like a lot of food ones that I kind of just avoid. Yeah. I avoid them because I know it's going to be stuff that's just going to freak me the hell out. It's like, I don't want to know that hamburger, you know, was filtered through a dead fish or whatever it is. I'm making that up, but like whatever it is, I don't want to know sometimes. And so those are usually the documentaries I should watch. Because it's like, all right, I need to just buckle down and see what they say about
opioids.
Well, it's good. So good, though. Recommended, you're saying.
I recommend it only because I feel knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, I had no idea. What I'm striving to do as a parent is to encourage happiness, find your passion, find what you like, and not necessarily feel the pressure. I know I can't stop that from happening for my son and daughter, but I can at least try to get them in healthier outlets that they would enjoy and things like that. And not, I don't know, I'm being a parent's heart.
Right.
and watching something like this where, you know, they're talking to young teens and adults. And like I said, the sports guy, he was I can't remember his name, but this pressure you kind of get into, and like that girl said, she's like, everyone's on Adderall. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Well, the other documentary I watched is about a whole different kind of drug in a whole different part of the world, but kind of the same thing. Like, everybody does it, even though everyone says they're not. Like, mm-hmm. That stuff's pretty scary. I mean, Nick came home once and said some girl got kicked out of class or suspended or something because she had I can't remember how this went, but somebody's bag opened up and Adderall pills just went like everywhere. Oh, wow. And they found out she didn't have a prescription for it, and it was stolen from somebody else, and she was giving them to her friends, and I can't remember what the deal was, but you know, it's like anything that happens with kids, it's bad. Also, that stuff works on, we talked to Wendy about this before, works on your brain differently when you're young and your brain is still forming and developing than it does when you're an adult. So
they talk about that
there.
In the documentary too. Yeah. And the studies and research, like high doses for young kids, they hate it. Mm-hmm. It makes them feel nervous. They don't like it. But they said as soon as you kind of go through puberty, it changes from a high dose doesn't make you feel nervous, makes you feel powerful. Mm-hmm. They said. And it was like really interesting. And there was a study that they did, the end result of this, they did a study where they gave people Adderall and then a placebo. Mm. And she said everything was pretty much the same across the board except one question. Mm. And I found that one fascinating because the question was, do you feel, I think it was smarter, and Adderall made them feel smarter.
Mm. So whether or not they were or not,
whether or not they, but they all performed like they the same across the board. Mm.
They just felt smarter. Wow. They that's felt. Crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. That has weird implications, doesn't it?
It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel confident. It gives you the feeling, whether you are or not, it gives you that feeling.
Right.
Perception is reality in a lot of cases for some people.
So the lesson is everyone stay away from
opioids.
Okay, great. We'll do it. That's on Netflix also. Go. So check that out. And we'll have more next week for sure. Also, make sure you follow Nicole. I always say this, but it's important that you do this because if you follow her at Nicole Spag, she will like post all this stuff. So you're like, oh, I missed it
I
today.
I was just posting the links because I'm still in my head about the 140 characters. But somebody brought up, hey, can you write the title? And a lot of times I'm rushing, so I just drop the links in.
Sure.
But I'll try to start putting the names as long as the characters.
Jeez, Nicole. Are available. Freaking get on it. What the hell?
I know. It's like I don't get paid. You've got
188 characters. Start using them.
Yeah. We've got a lot of characters now. But anyway, Nicole Spag on Twitter. Follow her there. Nicole, have a fantastic day. We'll see
bye.
Bye now. Okay.
Well, all right then.
There you go.
Yeah, we've done it.
That's how you show up to a podcast, Tom Merritt.
Jeez. I'm sure he's something probably.
He's got, I'm sure something pulled him away.
He never forgets. You know what I think it is?
Yeah. Opioids.
That's what I think.
Great. I'm sure that's exactly the rumor that he left started on that.
That's probably it. All right. We have one other thing to do, and that is a third in the long series of Brian Impressions mashups.
Oh, God.
Yes, that's right. Brian Ibbett, known for his fantastic impressions here on the show, some of which I think are freaking top-notch on the dollar.
And some are utter garbage.
Some bleed into each other. Some are Italian and then Russian later. Like, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Many end up in the Russian land.
But here's more. Let's see how these go.
And now, Brian Ibbett does impressions.
This is my chair. Don't you sit in it. Have you let that arm in the container fight?
I don't know if I would wear that top with those pants.
Years. My sister alone. She's just dancing.
Just dancing. Yeah.
Something. My chest, this is.
Yeah.
I have the best space force. Mm-hmm. We're going to be out there with laser guns. Bing, bong, bong.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear that song is about oral sex.
I pity the fool. Don't drink my tomato juice.
Big Macs are my favorite food.
Too much hassle, nine of diamonds. The nine of diamonds, too much hassle.
You saw my funny underwear that make it look like my wiener's out. Barry, did you see what's going on in room number 305? There's a guy burying a hooker in the mattress.
Hi, this is Patreon. You've broken our servers. This is Jack Conte from Pamplemousse.
Dole Whip, Dole Whip. I make the best Dole Whip.
Hey, guys, I'm Matthew McConaughey. Let me go get my Pontiac. I'll park it right here, all right?
Hey, you mind if I go back in my bedroom, get my bongos? Are you taking me to jail?
Yeah. Don't get my paycheck, so don't cash this until Friday. It's post-dated.
How about the version of Pokemon Go, where you're the Ghostbusters and you're looking for ghosts.
Back in the house, Coral.
Hello, I'm David Dennison. I have the best uses for 1 hour in a hotel room. I bring the best rubber sheets.
I'd like to tell you that I got along with Martin Shkreli.
But I didn't.
I buried Martin Shkreli in a mile of shit and then walked away smiling on the other side.
I was the best at Grand Theft Auto, though. Boy, I could drive through those streets and I'd change the radio channel.
I am a car who will drive you to work. I'll be the vehicle you've been dreaming of. Driving together, knowing forever that we did it all on the power of gas.
I love that. Oh my gosh. That's a recent one, too.
It's a long way to go for that little payoff.
Yeah. It was very, it was the recent one because it was kind of crusty, but I could tell he just added that one.
Yeah.
That was a good job. Good job there, Jamie. Jamie killing it. TMS Mashups on Twitter. Follow him and give him your love. I have one final thing for you today, and that is this email.
Okay. All right.
It's actually a YouTube comment. Billy Hubbard says this on a recent episode. I agree with you guys on a vast majority of topics and most of the time. But if you don't think this guy bullied his kid, then you, sirs, are delusional. Now, this is the guy who made his son, if you remember the news story, jog to school while he followed him in the car after he bullied somebody.
Exactly. And he put it on online, which I think was the big mistake. But
yeah, anyway, that was pushing it a little too far. I agree with that. There's no reason to make this public. That's weird that you would do that, but I don't think the punishment was that big a deal.
Right.
Anyway, he says, using power, be it physical, emotional, or structural, to make somebody in a weaker position to do something degrading is bullying. I don't know if making him jog instead of taking the bus is degrading.
It's not necessarily. I don't think, yeah, exactly. The degrading, again, I hate to bring the point up again, but I think the degrading part was videoing it, sharing with everybody. That is when you're saying, hey, look at what my kid's doing. Look at what I made my kid doing. Yeah. That is the bullying and degrading part. Agreed. But if you were just to say, you're going to run to school because you were a dick to other kids on the bus.
Yeah.
I don't think that's degrading.
I don't at all. Like, hey, you don't like, you're going to be a dick on the bus? Guess what? We'll take away that convenience that is the bus. You're going to be like kids in the 1800s. Get your ass to school, basically.
That said, I do see this guy's point.
Yeah, I don't know if I see it entirely. But anyway, it says it's textbook. If you're a parent, a mentor, the smarter, stronger leader, act it! This is no different than telling your child not to hit other people by hitting them. No, that's not the same.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't we all use a little more exercise?
That's a false equivalency anyway. Like, it's not the same. This is an eye for an eye, okay? Right. So I don't believe... That's where I lose this guy completely. He loses me right there. He says this is no different than telling your child not to hit other people by hitting them. I mean, if somebody does that, they're just wrong, and that's not a good equivalency. Anyway, how do you tell them not to be a cyber bully by showcasing private parenting on the interwebs? Okay, that part I agree with. You guys are 100% in the wrong on this one, but I still love you guys, and I'm thankful for your entertainment. Also, sorry I'm late to this. Still working on catching up on the past week or so. All right. So, I just wanted to make a point of this. The punishment, okay, two things. Him putting it online, dick move. Having a punishment like this for his son for bullying another kid, I think is fine. There's nothing inappropriate about it.
Again, it's not like having to wear oatmeal on your head or something like that. It's, you know, it's you're jogging. You're getting to school. If he made the kid walk,
Mm-hmm.
So you're not taking the bus. You're going to walk to school. That would not be considered bullying, right? Because he's just basically saying, we're taking away the convenience of you having the bus. You're going to go ahead and walk. And mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And I don't think there would be, nobody would have any problem with it if he said, nope, you're not taking the bus. You're walking. The fact that he made him jog, you know, all right, it's a little more strenuous. It takes a little bit more effort, a little more exertion. And I think that's where people are saying that it crossed the line. And I think it doesn't. I think the filming, it was where the line was crossed. But
I agree. And I just want to make it clear, this idea that it's no different than telling your child not to hit someone by hitting them doesn't work in this case.
Yeah, I think it's very different from that. Yeah.
Doesn't work in this case. No. All right. But we love your feedback.
Billy. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? We don't say you're wrong. Like we disagree, but it's I think this is purely just two different opinions. It's not like there's not a definition that we can point to that says, nope, in the case of such and such versus such and such, when they had to jog to the
How are you on the thing where, you know, the old stereotype of a kid smokes and then the dad catches him and then makes him smoke like 20 packs, so he never wants to smoke again? Where are you saying on that?
It's a funny story, but I don't think I could do that.
I couldn't
feel like
do it either.
So much more harmful. It's like, all right, kid, we're going to push you a little bit more towards lung cancer as I teach you a lesson.
Yeah, don't think I could do it. That's too much. I mean, I get that it probably works.
Yeah.
But that seems a little far to me.
Yeah.
But like all this stuff, it's all moving targets, man. Everyone's going to be a little bit different. You know, corporal punishment is not cool, in my opinion, but making your kid walk to school, go for it. Even jog to school. Get your ass out there. Quit bullying other kids.
Maybe I should jog to school.
I may need to jog somewhere.
It's supposed to be, it's going to be warm today. I'm getting on the bike.
It was supposed to be warm today, too, and it started raining on me this morning, so I got about half my normal jog done, so I'm hoping it'll clear out and I'll go out again later, but we shall see.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nicole says that her dad did something like this. She drank at a party and had a hangover the next day, and he was going to make her drink Crown Royal the next day, and her mom thankfully stopped.
Intervene.
Like, that was going to be the solution is, let's see if we can put you in a coma from drinking. That'll teach you.
Yeah, that seems bad. I wouldn't do that. Wow. Seems like a very bad. Well, there's telling a story right there. Anyway, the viral humiliation part. Lame. Don't do that to your kid.
Right.
That was totally agree with you on stone that, too man. Far. Keep it at home, man. Keep it at home. All right. This is going to do it. If you'd like to send your own emails in and your responses to this thing, you are certainly welcome to themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. For everything else, frogpants.com/TMS will take you there. That includes our Patreon, where you can support the show. Our links to our Twitter accounts, our Reddit page, all of it is there at frogpants.com/TMS. That includes links to the TMS Vegas meetup thing, if you're still looking for details for that, or if you're looking for signing up and getting your name on the list for the upcoming Overwatch tournament. All of those things and more could be yours at frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, we're done. Mm-hmm. Songy mix, songy pants, please.
All right. I have got a cover. It's kind of a double cover, and you know how much I like it when a band manages to take two songs and cover them both in the same song. I've played Rock Sugar in the past. These guys are like the jazz of Rock Sugar. These guys are like Jazz Sugar, but they don't go by the name Jazz Sugar. They go by the name Nutty. Now, this isn't a request from somebody in the chat pool. This is a request from me. It's a request for you guys. If you enjoy what you're hearing, do me a favor and go to Indiegogo.com and do a search for Nutty. They've got a brand new album they want to record called Live at the Purple Pit, where they do the sort of thing where they combine jazz and rock and put them all into the same thing. You fund it, you get a copy of the album. You could even get some glasses for cocktails and some coasters or t-shirts or coffee mugs or whatever, or just back the album. You know, that's good too.
Mm-hmm.
But check them out. Love these guys. They're so awesome. Nutty is the name of the band. The previous album, the most recent one that's available, not the one that's on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, the most recent one's called Jet Setter Jazz, The Pervasive Sounds of Nutty. And in addition to songs where they merge Jimi Hendrix and Henry Mancini and The Police and Aerosmith and stuff like that, they've got this one, which manages to combine a TV theme with Jethro Tull. I present to you Nutty and The Impossible Feat. I'm sorry, the impossible past.
Oh, past. Impossible past.
The impossible past.
Yeah, impossible feet is what I have. I have impossible feet. See you guys tomorrow. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Here, have some of my cat poop.